turn to the parallel passage of what Mike read this morning, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Commence at verse 37. Mark 14, 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want us to note later on in the passage, after the Lord is confronted, verse 50, they all forsook him and fled. And then later on in the passage, at the end of the chapter, we find the Apostle Peter facing this stern test. And we're told toward the end of his confrontations with the three people, verse 69, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock or the rooster crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Our Lord said, Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You all know what temptation is? Do our children know what temptation is? Temptation is when someone persuades you to sin. Everybody listening? The Bible teaches that the devil persuades people to sin. The Bible shows us that there are wicked men and women that persuade us to sin. The Bible shows that there are sometimes Christians who are backslidden or who are unwise that are used to persuade others to sin. Saul is an example of that. King Saul. Last week we considered the need to resist temptation, to yield not to temptation. This is also the consideration of the young people last Wednesday. And I feel that we should continue on the subject of temptation because it's such a huge area of concern and an area that we find ourselves dealing with on a regular basis. We thought about resisting temptation last week, the actual time of the temptation as far as that's concerned. But this morning, I want us to think about being prepared for the persuasion, or a spirit that is ready or prepared for temptation. This is what our Lord means when he says, Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Christ did not speak of eliminating all temptation altogether. Because that's impossible. We can't see the devil and his demons. We can't eliminate the possibility of temptation, whether it be from the devil or from man. But of readying for it and therefore reducing the number, possibly, and certainly being ready to resist it if it does come. In other words, that we need to be conscious of it. We need to be prepared for it. We shouldn't be surprised or shocked when it happens. You may enter into temptation, the Lord is saying here. Therefore, be ready. It's possible. But maybe also say you will be tempted. And I think this is understood in this caution, that they're not only possible, but they're definite in a wicked world. Are we willing to face it? And are we ready to face it? Now I ask the question, is the request in the model prayer, or what some people call the Lord's Prayer, contradictory to this passage? Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here he says, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We factor other texts, and the Scripture teaches us to expect diverse, multiple, and difficult temptations. I think that when he taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, that he meant, Lord, don't let tests be too hard for us to take. And I think that he meant for us, when we pray that, to say, Lord, give us spirits that are ready for the test. Don't let us be unready when it comes. And it's true, we are often unready when a temptation comes. They were unready. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. Peter was compromising when he should have been bold, unashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is your condition when you're tempted to sin? What is your state when you're persuaded to fall? I want us to consider what helps to ready a Christian for the temptation so that he's in a position to resist it in the first place. Firstly, I think the Lord teaches us here to be sensitive of our weakness. You're not ready for a temptation until you admit you're weak. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Every one of us has what's called flesh. And it's not just talking about the body. Well, that's true. There are temptations that are akin to the body. There are temptations that are compatible to the body. Temptations to steal when the body's hungry. Temptations to curse when the body is in pain. So indeed, real flesh is possessed by all of us. And so the fact that we're in a dying and a painful body does leave us open to temptation. And we need to be aware of that. We're weak. Our body's weak. I don't care how strong you are, friend. You're not stronger than the devil. I don't care how strong you think you are spiritually. You're not very strong if you're not trusting the Lord in your spirit. Peter felt he was strong. And I don't think Peter was... There was no doubt some arrogance there, but I think he was sincere. I think there was some real confidence there. I can't say he was altogether arrogant and presumptuous. Well, there's no doubt there was some pride and presumption there, but I think there was also mixed with that some loyalty to Christ. I mean, it wasn't John that took out that sword in the garden, was it? It wasn't Philip that took the sword out. Peter, that takes quite a bit of confidence with that throng of people in the Garden of Gethsemane to take out that sword. He was aiming for that man's head. He probably ducked, or Peter missed the head and took off his ear. That took some confidence, some courage. But I think that he overestimated himself. Beware of overestimating yourself. The Lord says the flesh is weak. Don't ever say, that'll never happen to me. The Bible says, let every man who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. You may think, well, there's a sin I would never commit. That tells me you think your flesh is strong. Now, we're strong. We should be strong in the Lord. But the Lord is saying, you've got to remember that your flesh is weak. And he's not even just saying, remember that without me you can do nothing. He's even saying, with me, your flesh is still weak in the sense that you need me to give you power to overcome that weakness of flesh. We are finite, frail, and sinful. Finite in that we have limits. We can't see invisible things. We can't be in places as quick as the devil. We can't always flee from something. There are times that we can flee like Joseph from a circumstance, but there are times you're not going to be able to flee. You're going to have to stand and talk to the tempter or the temptress. There are times that you're going to have to stand and use the Scripture, not turn your back. We're finite. We're frail. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable because we still have the vestiges of our old nature. We're vulnerable to lust. We're vulnerable to pride. We're vulnerable to cowardice. We're vulnerable to unbelief. Because we have vestiges of an unbelieving nature, of a cowardly nature, of a lustful nature. And we're sinful. We can be easy prey because we have fallen before. Disappointment is trying to us. When we're disappointed, we show that we're weak. There are times that we feel our weakness acutely, don't we? You may say, well, you know, I'm going on with the Lord and I'm reading the Scriptures and praying and I feel strengthening. That's a blessing, and I'm not discouraging you from being encouraged in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord's strength and strengthening you. But there are going to be times you're going to be disappointed. The disciples were disappointed. I think that despair led them to their sleepiness. It wasn't the sleepiness that led them to despair. They couldn't understand. They were disappointed that the Lord was talking about death and defeat. At least they thought it was. They were expecting the Lord to rise, the Lord to ascend to the throne, the Lord to overcome his enemies immediately. So they were just disappointed. And it led them to their despair, being unready. Persecution is exhausting. You realize how weak your flesh is when you're persecuted. When you're getting one jab after another, a letter here and a stray word there, and some accusation here, and someone forsaking you there. Those are weakening times. Peer pressure is strong. Young people aren't the only ones that have peer pressure. I have peer pressure. Most of the drivers in Springville are my age. That's peer pressure. You know, you face peer pressure one day, and the Lord gives you grace, and you just expect you're going to face it, but then something else happens. Maybe you get demoted. You get overlooked. Or you find that one day that they like you, But the next day they don't. The opinions, the friendship of the world is fickle. And lust is fierce. Tell you, Joseph felt his weakness day after day after day after day after day. And I have no doubt that when he fled that scene, that he was shaking like a leaf. You know, the theme of prayer every morning, the young people would leave the cafeteria and go to have devotions, whether individually or together in their cabins. And we would all, the counselors and the ministers and the workers, would go downstairs beneath the cafeteria and we would have a time of Bible study and prayer. Mark Allison is the camp chaplain, and he would open the scriptures to us, and we would, of course, have others give requests among the young people and at the camp. And you know, one of the emphases in prayer throughout the week was, "Lord, we're weak." And they realized the literal week. I arrived on Tuesday afternoon, and I remember when I first pulled up in front of the cafeteria, I looked over at a bench or two, and there were just counselors on a bench, and they looked exhausted. And it's Tuesday. They just got there Saturday night. I mean, they're up till 11 o'clock at night counseling, or past 11, noon, or midnight, or 1 o'clock. And they're up early. You know, not only having to maintain their own devotions, but to encourage the young people to have theirs. And then the young people approaching them after a chapel service, or during their devotional times, or sometime during the day. And then they have to meet for prayer with us in the morning. Keep track of everything in the cabins. It's exhausting, mentally and physically and spiritually. There were weeping times downstairs. Lord, we're weak. We can't create an anxious thought. We have anxious thoughts that shouldn't be there. There are people that have hearts harder than stone, and only you can break those hearts. Our prayer, I don't think as often as it ought to be. Lord, we're weak. We're weak. The Lord Jesus was a real man, and he felt his weakness. It wasn't the weakness from sinful flesh. He had not sinful flesh. We have the weakness of sinful flesh. We have memories of our past. We have the experience of being fallen that scares us again. We have a dying body in all its ramifications, and we have the sting of past sin. Our Lord Jesus did not have sinful flesh. He did not sin, but he felt his weakness. He was a man of sorrows, a man of strains, a man that was carrying the burden of his people. And you think, if we have temptations that come from every direction, and we are weak people, and we are sinful people, how many temptations? The Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Well, we don't read of all the temptations. Oh, there's no doubt that there were temptations for him to love as well as for him to be unbelieving, as we see of the wilderness temptation. People have asked me, well, we don't read of any of these things, but it says he was tempted in all points. And think of how many temptations that the devil would throw at a perfect man. How many does he throw at imperfect people? Many. We're told by James that we have various and multiple, and by Peter, hard trials, hard temptations, and we're imperfect people. There's no doubt that a perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, had everything thrown at him. Whispers. And he had Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and moral people and immoral people thrown at him. Demons and men. Had to sit down on Jacob's well, didn't he? He was tired, hungry, tempted to turn the stone into bread, tempted to be impatient with people when it was time for him to rest, for him to eat. What a Savior. Aren't you glad we have a perfect Savior? And the Lord Jesus, the perfect Savior, was feeling His weakness there at that Last Supper before He would ascend the Mount of Olives and face the greatest temptation ever. He said, flesh is weak. The way you prepare for temptation, you admit the culpability of weakness. Once we face the honest fact of our weakness, we turn to observe the direction of assault. We need not only a sensitivity of our own weakness, but we need the regimen of watchfulness. He said, watch. Watch. The name Gregory comes from this word, to watch. It means a wakefulness, a concern about you. A humble man admits that his deficiencies in the state of affairs call for vigilance. See, if you don't admit your need, then you won't turn to look at the directions that are going to attack your deficiency. Watch, the Bible says. It speaks of a vigilance, a surveillance. It's used in Matthew 24 about watching for a thief. It's used in Acts 20 about watching for false teachers and wolves and hirelings. And in 1 Peter, watching, be sober, be watchful, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we walk around with our eyes closed, boasting in our strength, the lion sees that we're easy prey. Even watchmen, when you think of a watchman or a sentinel, I mean, he's ready, but he's watching. He's on duty. But he's not saying, I've got a gun. I got the authority of this position. I've got all kinds of recall. I've got all kinds of help behind me, and so I'm not going to need to watch. I mean, what's he doing? He's watching. He's watching for the prey or for the predator to come from a distance. He's watching for stealth. He's watching for one and watching for 100. He's watching the gates. He's watching everywhere. Oh, he's watching from within. Is there anyone from within that could be harming this city? We need to be ready for tragedies that the devil would use to discourage us. It was a tragedy to the disciples that Jesus was going to die. They didn't look at it as a victory. They looked at it as a terrible tragedy that would end it all for them and Him. But thank God we look past, we look post-Calvary, don't we? Are tragedies discouraging times? Oh, they're sad times, but we ought to see them as part of the Lord's plan. Disappointments, we need to be cautious and watchful that they don't discourage us and cause us to despair. You know, you don't sin when you get disappointed, but you sin when you despair in the disappointment. When you won't let anyone encourage you. When you can't turn to help someone else. The point of discouragement or the point of tragedies is that you might be able to help those who are experiencing. Paul said that we were pressed out of measure, but he said we have this. We have these experiences that we might comfort those who have also had them. How do you react to a disappointment? You become prayerless? You become bitter toward God? You refuse to now then be used to comfort someone else? You stop reading your Bible? You take it out on your loved ones? That's not being watchful. Being watchful is when I'm disappointed that I get on my knees and I say, Lord, take the hurt of this disappointment. Give me your grace. Or we realize that we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. This tells me that I must be a soldier in the army because I've been attacked by the the devil's crown. Threats cause us to fear the face of man. How should we react to threats and accusations? Jesus was threatened, he threatened not again. Lord, give us the grace and the love to look at someone who hates us with love in our hearts. The lure to lust, how do we react to it? With animation, with prayer, fleeing from those lusts, using Scripture. Scripture is stronger than the feelings of the flesh. The Lord is stronger than I. Falsehoods, the devil tempts us which to dilute truth, provocations to divide us. How do you react when you're provoked? Do you leave? It's amazing how many people leave churches because they've been provoked by a believer. Something disappointing has happened. That's the way the world treats marriage. The way some children treat their family situations, the easiest solution to them is just leave. Just divorce. No, we face each other. We converse, dialogue. What's the will of the Lord in this? Flattery can puff us up. We're ready for a fall. Watch, brethren. We need to be watchful. Watch, the Lord Jesus says. Not just pray. How many people will just pray, but they're not watching? You can be praying without watching. You know, the Lord told Joshua, get up, when he got down to pray. It's not time to pray. It's time to show that you are watchful. It's time to go look for the man who did this to provoke me to judge Israel. You need to watch, brethren and sisters. Are you watching for your family? Do you know what they're watching on television? Do you know what they're clicking onto in their computer? Do you know what mail they're getting? And I know, young people, I understand that sometimes you think we delve into the things, but look, the Bible says to be watchful. And I hope I'm not offended if one of you is watching over my shoulder for me. Maybe, preacher, you've overlooked this. You know, in your busyness, you haven't seen this going on. And I hope that I'm not too proud to say, you know, I'm my own watchman. But we're a brother's keeper. And I know there's a point where we meddle in each other's affairs, but there's a point where we're helpful in each other's affairs. We're not watchful of each other and watchful of our children and watchful of our siblings and watchful of one another. We're going to fall to temptation. You wonder if Dinah's brother should have been watching out for her when she got curious. She fell. We need to watch out for that troublemaker and that jester, that fool to avoid. We need to be aware of temptation. But even acknowledged weakness and perceived attack requires real power. And lastly, not only should we be sensitive of our weakness, we need to be active in watchfulness, but we need to have the spirit of dependence. We need to be sensitive to our weakness. We need to have the regimen of watchfulness, but we also need to have the spirit of dependence. I can acknowledge my weakness, and I can see the temptation coming, and I can still fall. Because I haven't prayed and sought the Lord. I'll face it on my own. I see it coming. Do you think David wasn't aware of the situations in Jerusalem when he saw Bathsheba? There are psalms that indicate he recognized his weakness. He'd been a psalmist for how many years? How many of the psalms do we see David acknowledging his weakness? He knew he was weak. He hadn't been tempted to lust. That wasn't the first time he'd been tempted. What should David have done that when he saw Bathsheba? He should have prayed. He should have fled that scene. So we need not only to acknowledge our weakness and have a vigilance about us, but we need to be depending on the Lord, having a spirit of dependence. Here's where the Christian takes his awareness and his knowledge to his God. We must trust not in our sessions that see, in our knowledge that perceives, or our theology that differentiates, or our feet that run, but we must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Oh yes, we use elders, we use knowledge, we use theology, we use our feet and our legs at times, but we trust in the Lord. We keep our powder dry, but we trust in the Lord. Isn't that what the psalmist means? He doesn't mean to let our guns be rusty and our powder be wet when he says, salvation's of the Lord, and trust not in the legs of man. But the Bible says, something. What is it about the horse that... Yes, the horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. I think that's how it goes. And some people say, well, see, we ought not to trust in a horse. No, the horse is prepared for battle. We're learning Scripture. We're watching to see which direction the devil comes at. The devices of the devil, the devices of men. We've got our guns ready, as it were, if a thief comes in. We're ready to rebuke the false teacher. We're ready to discipline the troublemaker. But we don't trust in that. But safety and deliverance through those means is of the Lord. And that's why Jesus didn't just say, watch, for the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. The Lord is my strength. That's what I'm saying when I pray. The Lord gives me strength. The Lord defeats my enemies. The Lord makes the way to escape. The Lord arranges the circumstances. The Lord uses the means of watchfulness and humble admittal of my weakness. But it's the Lord that gives me the victory. The Lord do all the honor. Why the psalmist, or Jesus taught us to pray, lead me not into temptation, but if you do, Lord, lead me into a temptation that's not too strong. Don't let me trust in myself. Deliver me from the evil. For thine is the kingdom to advance. Thine is the power to advance it. And thine is the glory that is the result. Pray for encouragement when you're tempted to be discouraged. Pray for humility. Pray for courage. Pray for holiness. Pray for hatred of sin. Jesus, through his disciples, said, you have not because you ask not. Wait on the Lord is the word. Be of good courage and he'll strengthen your heart. Be strong in the Lord, our young people saying, and be of good courage, for he will strengthen your heart, for he is your God. Rejoice that the victory is yours, but trust in the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I was wrestling whether to preach this morning on another text in Jude, to keep yourselves in the love of God, to preserve the blessing as far as the young people was concerned. And all of us, we all need to learn how to preserve and continue the blessing before the Lord. Jude gives us some practical things. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, that is, knowing the truth and theology, praying in the Holy Ghost, your power, looking for the mercy of our Lord, hope in the second coming. But he ends, all that will avail you nothing unless him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To him be glory and honor, majesty and dominion forever and ever. Keep your powder dry. Use your guns. Trust the Lord that it will reach its mark. Fell your enemies. Keep you standing tall and true until Jesus comes. Be responsible to readiness. React to resistance. Trust in the Lord. Be sensitive of your weakness. Have a regimen of watchfulness. Always have the spirit of prayer. This is serious business, isn't it? When you think of our soldiers in Iraq, one letting down of the guard could be it. One letting down of the guard. That fellow that Brett handed a tract to a couple weeks ago, real friendly old man, I don't think he's saved. He told me he was in a foxhole in the Korea or Vietnam, I think. And he said a hand grenade dropped at his feet. I said, why didn't you jump out of the foxhole? He said, you're dead. You learn you never get out of the foxhole. Everything's done in the foxhole. He said, If I didn't see that happen, I was done. He said, I picked it up and I threw it, and within 10 feet, 15 feet, it exploded. That man was vigilant. Like in the spiritual battle, the devil's throwing his hand grenades. I read something else about a young fellow that was on guard and a hand-propelled or a rocket-propelled hand grenade took his life like that. The devil's not out to flatter you. He's out to kill you, brother and sister. He's out to fell you in your life. He's out to cause you to fall to lust and cowardice. We're in a battle. We're weak. But we're watchful. Therefore, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord. Preserve the blessings and go on with God, but let's always be ready for the temptation. The way the devil gets us off course, how he divides churches and divides homes and marriages, that's how he steals the blessings. He wants us to fall. The Lord is with us and will help us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for the Scriptures. We thank Thee that You have not left one thing that we would need. Lord, You've given us all things for life and godliness. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for the warnings. Thank You for the encouragements. Thank You, Lord, that You've given Your people an awareness of the dangers and the pitfalls. Lord, we confess that even when we're aware of these things, that we fall because we have not trusted in Thee. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, protect our young people, the next generations of our churches, of our elders, of our deacons, of our Sunday school teachers, of our missionaries, of our laborers in the world, in the sphere of evangelism, in our factories, in our stores, in our businesses. Oh God, keep them from falling. Keep us all from falling. Present us faultless in that day in Christ. As we go forth today, we pray, Lord, that we would be mindful of our weakness, watchful of the dangers, and prayerful, keeping our eyes upon Thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. For Jesus' sake, amen.